Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Let's get into this. Now, I don't claim to know everything. There's actually a lot of things that I don't know. And I try to stick to the things that I do know, and I try to avoid the things that I don't know or don't understand on this show because I think that makes me sound better. But we have to start today's show with something that I don't know, I don't get, and I don't understand. So if you guys remember last week, to kick off Chiefs and Bengals week, this is what Justin Reed said.
It is Higgins. It's Higgins. Higby and Higgins. They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver, too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down. You know, straight up. We're going to have to come out of the game, like I said, play our best game and go out and do it.
Now, that was a little unusual to me. You don't really hear the Chiefs talk like that. And that's not really who Justin Reed is. At least that's not who he's been so far when he's been with the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, fast forward to the game. And we saw him get Derrick Henry stiff-armed into the ether. We saw him get the Undertaker chokeslam pile-drived into the mat. And he had a relatively quiet game. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I get humbled in that way, the best thing to do is to be quiet, move forward, and forget that it happens. Like, how I normally deal with stressful situations is a nap. You know, maybe you're really frustrated with how something is going. Have you noticed that when you take a nap, you just wake up and you feel a little bit better? Well, I tell you that because after the game, so this is immediately after getting pile-drived into the dirt, Justin Reed then apologizes to the other team.
I feel bad that, you know, I didn't give the proper respect to Hayden Hurst in knowing his name. So I apologize to him and them for that. Still feel confident, always will be confident in our team and our defense to go out and play tough football. You know, so but credit to them. They went out and played a hell of a game today, made a couple more plays than we did, and, you know, they came out with the win.
That's the right kind of attitude you should have when you get laid out the way that he did. Yo, my bad. One of the signs that I believe of maturity is, as an adult, is being able to say, you know what, I messed up. You know what, my bad. And when you think about the people in your life that don't have the ability to say that, for the most part, they are the most immature people that you know. Because we're all going to mess up. We're all going to make mistakes. But taking accountability, accepting that you made a mistake and trying to move forward in that situation is the most adult thing that you can do. And that's what I think Justin Reed did in there. Hey, I ran my mouth a little bit. Yo, that's my bad. I apologize for disrespecting him. That's not the way we want to play. I'm going to make fun of you a little bit, you know, because you did get dribbled off the turf, but that happens. Today, for no reason at all, unprompted, Justin Reed gets on the Twitter machine and tweets, unpopular opinion, we lost, ... but I was still right, cry about it. What is he talking about? I don't understand this. I am not a professional athlete, but I have competed in things before. I've competed in enough things to be able to say this. Anything you say after we lost is null and void. We lost, but it was only by 3 points. You lost. Well, we lost, but it doesn't matter. You lost. Some things in life are black and white. Whether you won or lost in something is the most clear-cut way to determine success or failure. The Chiefs failed on Sunday. It happens. You'll have an opportunity to get them back. But you can't go on Twitter days later and then say, unpopular opinion, we lost, ... but I was still right. Cry about it. Who's crying? Cincinnati fans aren't crying. Mike Hilton isn't crying.
You know, we don't need to do all the talking like they do on Twitter. We just go out and play ball. 3-0 in the same year. I mean, I'm pretty sure we'll see him again. So when that time comes, you know, we'll be ready.
One of the Cincinnati Bengals players said, we don't need to do all the talking like they do on Twitter. And you know what Justin Reed decided to do when he woke up today? Do all the talking on Twitter. Does that make sense to you guys? Is that logical? Is that smart? Justin Reed is a really intelligent individual. Man graduated from Stanford. Man is doing great things in the community. Justin Reed is a really good guy. But this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Bro, you lost. There ain't no trash talking when you lost. I don't care what new hip things that high school students will come up with and cheer. You want to know the best chant that your school can have towards their school? Scoreboard. They might be funnier than you. They might be more clever. They might have more students in their student section. You know what chant has never lost? Scoreboard. Scoreboard. What can you say to that? You're losing the game. We are sitting here watching the game and you are losing. This man said, unpopular opinion, we lost, ... but I was still right. Well, he got hurt in the first quarter. What were you right about? Did you lock anybody up? Did you guys win? You can say whatever you want when you win. You can't be a loser and still talking trash. I couldn't believe this when I woke up. I thought I was being punked. Rob, you know how some people paid for their check mark, so it's not really, you know, the actual person? I thought this was a fake at first. So I had to go, you got to double and triple check now in today's Twitter. You got to go on there. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Justin Reed. He did that at 7:58 in the morning. That man been stewing on that loss. He been stewing on getting drugged to the ground. 7:58? Is the sun even out at 7:58? Why didn't you have any of this to say during the game? Because Jamar Chase said you were as quiet as a church mouse during the game.
It was really just 55 talking the most trash out there. No, tune in the can wasn't talking at all.
That man called you tune in a can. Say something about him. Because I don't think Jamar Chase is crying. I couldn't believe this. I really can't. Maybe you guys can't understand it. Some of you are smarter than me. You know, I like to think I'm a fairly smart individual. Some of you are smarter than me. I acknowledge that. 913-586-7610. Maybe you guys understand it, but I do not understand losing in a game and then 2 days later going on Twitter and then tweeting, unpopular opinion, we lost, ... but I was still right. Cry about it. No one is crying. No one. At least no one that really matters is crying. Certainly nobody on the Cincinnati side is crying about it. They seem to be fine. I don't know if you're asking Chiefs fans to cry, but I think they're more upset about the first part of the sentence and not the second part of the sentence. I don't think anyone cares if you were right or not. I think a lot of people care that, you know, you guys lost. I think that's really important to people. Rob, let's get to the hits.
The hits. Getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work, number one.
That man got treated like a spalling ball. He's sitting here still yapping. That's crazy.
Well, as always, Carrington, the hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Autos, down your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Well, outside of Justin Reed and his tweets, the top story of the day in Kansas City remains the Chiefs' loss to the Bengals. Friend of the show, Nick Wright, was on his podcast, What's Right with Nick Wright, and he said this about the Chiefs going down the stretch.
Here is my proclamation and my guarantee that I am going to make. The Chiefs are not losing again this year, and the Chiefs are still going to be the one seed. So everyone's, Buffalo right now is the one seed. Let me make something very clear about what the Chiefs have the rest of the way. The Broncos, Texans, Seahawks at home, Broncos, all of a sudden Frisky Raiders final week of the year. They haven't lost to the Broncos since before Mahomes was the quarterback. They don't lose to the Raiders. Seattle, I give them credit, they're not coming into Arrowhead and winning. That means the Buffalo Bills must go undefeated the rest of the way to be the one seed. Cincinnati already has four losses. So Cincinnati's got the tiebreaker on Kansas City, but the Chiefs would have to lose again, and Cincinnati would have to go undefeated.
Carrington, let's say Nick is right and the Chiefs go undefeated in the one seed. Does that mean we know more about the Chiefs, or at 14-3 with no wins over teams we deem as Super Bowl threats, would they be a team that, despite being the one seed, we would say things like, I wonder how good they are?
Let's get back to this coming up after the hits. I do think this is really interesting because the Chiefs can go 14-3 and still not really answer if they can beat the top teams in the AFC. Now, sure, the Chiefs can beat any team in the NFL. They might be the best team in the league, but they've had two opportunities to show it up against like opponents, and they've lost both of those games. They had a chance to go up against Buffalo earlier this year. They lost. They played Cincinnati earlier this year. They lost. A team in Tennessee that is very much going to win their division. They played a very, very tightly contested game against Tennessee. The Chiefs haven't been head and shoulders better than these teams. They've been pretty clearly one of the better teams, and they're certainly one of the more consistent teams in the National Football League, but I don't know if we can really learn anything about the Chiefs down the stretch. If the Chiefs are playing really good football heading into the playoffs, are we going to feel really good because they dominated the Raiders? Are we going to feel really good that they took care of business against the Denver Broncos? Can they do anything in the game against Houston that really changes anything or moves the needle for us? The Chiefs are in a very interesting part of their season because there are certainly some things that they need to work on, some things that they need to fix heading into the playoffs. They just don't really play an opponent that can show us all of those things the final 5 weeks of the season, that if they get the one seed, we're not going to learn anything, I would say, new about the Chiefs for seven more weeks when you think about it. It's crazy how the NFL schedule ends up shaking out. Two.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, they did in fact lose the Bengals on Sunday. And on Sunday, we got a full display of the MVS experience. He made some plays. He also left some plays out there, including a drop touchdown. Carrington, thinking a little wide view here, MVS is who MVS is. The Chiefs have not had Hardman or Tony. Is it fair to say the Chiefs wide receivers, who have not had a touchdown since the Jags game, are underperforming, or is this just what the group is?
I mean, I think this is what the group is. You know what? Fade the music down. Let's talk a little bit about MVS, just a little bit. Didn't we see all the different stages of MVS? Didn't we see it? MVS made one of the better catches of the game. That play down the middle of the field was one of the bigger plays for the Chiefs offensively, one of the best catches that we've seen the Chiefs have so far this regular season, and one of the better plays that they've had so far this regular season. But MVS is a gift and a curse. He makes that big play, and then he has one of the worst drops that they've had so far this season, a play in the back of the end zone, a play you gotta make. You got the full spectrum of MVS. This was one of my complaints about MVS this offseason. I think people were expecting there to be this next level, this next gear for MVS, and I just don't think it exists. Why it was different with Juju is Juju wasn't in a good offensive situation. Juju was playing with Ben Roethlisberger, and how good of a receiver can you really be in that offense with that quarterback? that wasn't really the case with MVS. He was in a really good offense, an offense that had a number one wide receiver, an offense that that guy should be able to take some of the pressure off you and allow you to work in one-on-one situations. And he just never really flourished. And sometimes I like to go back and I like to read the draft prospects, because as much as we mock the draft process, a lot of these people know what they're doing. And a lot of the things that they tell you when it comes to a strengths and weaknesses standpoint end up being accurate. Listen to what the weaknesses they have for MVS. This is on his NFL.com. If you don't believe me, Google Marquez Valdes-Scantling draft report, NFL.com, and click on it. And it says these four things: too much body catching, hands are small for his size, and he suffers from focus drops, gets deep, but his ball skills down the field are lacking, fails to utilize his size to gain position. Is that not the wide receiver that the Chiefs currently have on their team? He does suffer from focus drops. His ball skills down the field are lacking. So I don't know what people were expecting with MVS. I think MVS is a fine receiver. I think the Chiefs have a group of fine receivers. I think they have just fine. I don't think MVS is bad. I don't think he's great. I think he's fine. But on Sunday, they needed somebody else to be more than fine. In a game in which Cincinnati is getting really physical with Travis Kelce and bumping them and grabbing them and holding them, you need somebody else to be a dog in that situation. They ain't really got no other dog. So I think we knew a lot of this when it came to wide receivers. And teams like Cincinnati have figured out how to limit the Chiefs in such a way to really put the pressure and expectation on the others to make plays. Hey, we're not going to let Travis Kelce beat us the way that other teams do. Kelsey's not going to have two touchdowns for 130 yards and get the dance and do all these things. No, we shutting that down. And we're going to force, whether it's Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, MVS, we're going to force all of these other guys to make plays. And the Bengals do a really good job of it. And I do think we can say this now. Some of it's just due to injuries. The Chiefs could really use Mecole Hardman coming back. The Chiefs offense is just missing that oomph. They're missing that guy that can give you the big play opposite of Travis Kelce. They're missing that little wrinkle, that sauce, the seasoning. They're just missing a little flavor right now. I know that Mecole Hardman can be frustrating from time to time, but you got to at least acknowledge he's got an explosive part of his game that MVS doesn't have. There's an explosive factor with whether it's Tony or Hardman that Sky Moore just doesn't have now. And against teams like Cincinnati, you just need that little extra oomph. You need that kick. And their offense just didn't have it on Sunday against Cincinnati. They just didn't have it.
Three.
Well, Carrington, the biggest story in sports outside of Kansas City today is Baker Mayfield. Back like it's 2017 again, the biggest story in sports. Baker Mayfield, as you know, was cut by the Carolina Panthers. Today he was picked up. Only one team put in a claim for him, so me and Mitchell Schwartz lose the bet. The Los Angeles Rams. Baker now a Ram. Carrington, my question to you is this. It's a hypothetical you tossed out to me earlier. Considering the Chiefs' upcoming opponent, who would you rather have a quarterback? Contract aside, the recently waived and claimed Baker Mayfield or Mr. Unlimited?
So you're going to put me on the spot like that?
Not so fun. What is it when the so-and-so's got the gun?
It ain't so fun when the rabbit got if you're going to use my quotes, use them right. All
right. I mean, a lot of animals get hunted. A lot of animals could have. When the duck has the gun, when the turkey, the deer, any animal people hunt for sport fits the saying.
It don't sound nearly as good when you say ain't no fun when the turkey got the gun. You know what I mean? It don't sound nearly as fun.
I bet it's not fun with a turkey shooting at you.
It don't sound nearly as fun. I would take Baker Mayfield. Not by a lot. But I would take Baker Mayfield. The Russell Wilson thing just seems, it seems irreversible at this point. One thing that is really telling to me especially in an NFL sense, of who vouches for you. Like right now, let's say Le'Veon Bell came out and said, because you remember Le'Veon Bell was doing a lot of talking about Andy Reid, so let's use him as an example. Let's say that Le'Veon Bell came out and said, you know what, man, Patrick Mahomes don't really watch film. He don't work hard. You know how many people in the league would stand up and defend Patrick Mahomes and tell you that Le'Veon Bell is crazy and that Patrick Mahomes is one of the hardest working guys in the league and that this is sour grapes and you got a vendetta and to let it go? I mean, it would almost be instant from current and former players. What players have really stood up that they like Russell Wilson? Not even guys he won a Super Bowl with. What guy from that Seattle team really likes Russell Wilson? Is it Marshawn Lynch? Is it Richard Sherman? Is it Bobby Wagner? Is it Doug Baldwin? There just ain't a lot of guys that are really defending Russell. That says a lot to me. That nobody in the league really seemed to got your back. I know that Baker has been polarizing at times. You don't really hear people go out of their way to really crush Baker, not that he used to play with. I think both of their skill sets are very limited at this point. But the Russell thing, I don't know how you turn it around. Like, I don't know how you fix it. I think it might be irredeemable at this point. I don't know how you fix the Russell Wilson issue if you're the Broncos. So to answer your question, Rob, I would say Baker Mayfield. I mean, I think you're losing with either one of the situations. I don't think you're winning, but I'd have to say that right now, if given the choice, I'd rather have Baker Mayfield, which does not feel good to say.
I mean, the Niners literally just chose Brock Purdy over Baker Mayfield. That's a literal thing that happened today in the NFL because they didn't put a claim in, which means they're comfortable with Brock Purdy. I know Jimmy will be back by the divisional round because it's 6 to 7 weeks or whatever, but Brock Purdy, this is not Iowa State Brock Purdy. The Niners chose Brock Purdy over Baker Mayfield. I think you're right with it being Baker Mayfield, but the fact that our answer to this question is a guy who an NFL team said, nah, we have Brock Purdy, we're good, is wild.
I mean, another team also said that we have Sam Darnold and PJ Hunter as well. You know what I mean? It's a lot of teams have told Baker Mayfield no. You know what I mean? A lot of teams have communicated the no for your boy, Baker Mayfield. No, it is not good, man. It's not going well for Baker Mayfield. Coming up in a bit, we haven't really talked a lot about Deion Sanders and him deciding to leave Jackson State and going to Colorado. Yesterday was a busy day. K-State won the Big 12, the Chiefs game. We'll get to that here coming up in just a bit. I do want to play one thing that Mitchell Schwartz had to say earlier on the show today. And Mitchell Schwartz and I are in the exact same place when really looking and analyzing the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
I spent a lot of time the past couple days talking about Spags, and there's a lot of people unhappy with the defense and his coaching and all this stuff. Well, last year it was too much cover zero, it was too much man coverage. And this year it was a bunch of too high and some zone looks, and now it's too much soft coverage. Well, it's like, what do people want? He did the opposite of what he did last year. We still got burned. Why is that? Because of pressure. Like, you can't play that and not have pressure and not be able to make it successful. So I don't think it's, you know, a coaching structure thing. I would imagine next time we play him, we'll kind of revert back a little bit to the bread and butter of man coverage and throw some cover zero and throw maybe a little bit more cover one with a spy, maybe try to get Burrow on the run and, you know, be able to send Willie at him or one of those guys. But yeah, nothing works defensively without pressure.
I play that because I have seen criticisms about Spags and his defense. And I'm not here to be a total and complete defender for the defense, but I don't think Brett Veach is being held equally as accountable for the flaws that the defense has. I have been talking about the pass rush issue on this team for years now and how their lack of pressure affects the rest of the defense. And the Chiefs this offseason did little to address it. When free agency was happening and pass rushers are coming off the board left and right, every day, breaking news sounder. Chiefs just kind of hung around, just didn't really make a move. In the draft, Chiefs pick up a late first. That's just not where you're going to find immediate impact when it comes to that position. The Chiefs don't make a signing until training camp had started in mid-August. The Chiefs just didn't do a lot to fix their pass rush issue. And when you combine an inconsistent pass rush with an inexperienced secondary, sometimes there's going to be problems. And you can only scheme so much, and you can only dial up the perfect blitz so many times. At some point, you need your defensive line, you need your front four to be able to beat their offensive line. And if you can do that, you got a chance to win a lot of games, and you got a chance to win a lot of important games. And I continue to say it, it is not a surprise to me that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl when they got the best version of Frank Clark. And as long as they continue to not get that, games like Sunday will happen that the Chiefs don't get pressure, they don't force turnovers, and you leave yourself vulnerable to get beat to a team that, in my opinion, you're better than. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Deion Sanders, who made the decision to leave Jackson State and head to Colorado. I'll give you my thoughts. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. If you missed Patrick Mahomes on Monday at 2:15, you can listen on demand on the brand new Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Everybody prioritizes different things in a job search. Maybe your ability to work from home is most important to you. Maybe it's working 4 days a week. Maybe you really like the people that you work with. Short drive from your home. Whatever your reason is, everybody has different priorities when it comes to looking for another job. So I don't fault whatever your reason is. If your reason for working where you work is, I want to make the most money possible, and that's why you work there, fine. But over the last couple of days, we have seen Deion Sanders make the switch from Jackson State to Colorado. And I think why this coaching search, why this changing of jobs has been so different, is it really touches on a lot of different things. This isn't just your normal coach sort of moves up the coaching rank story. I think this is a lot deeper than that, and that's why I think it has resonated with people the way that it has. I don't fault Deion for taking the Colorado job. Deion Sanders was making $350,000 a year and is now making $5.6 million a year, and he has an assistance pool of $4 million. So the bag is incredibly different in Colorado than it was in Jackson State. But didn't we know that in the very, very beginning? Like, Deion Sanders is not taking a $350,000 job at Jackson State for the money. He's taking it because I believed he really wanted to be a head coach. I think he's proven that. But I also really started to buy into the other things that Deion was selling. Like Deion was selling that he had a higher calling and a higher purpose, and that's why he was in Jackson State. And I've heard him talk plenty of times about the importance of selling young African-American kids that you don't have to go to, let's call them primarily white institutions to play football, that you can play football for your own, and you can look outside and you can see fans that look just like you, and to feel that love and support from HBCU and building up the infrastructure of HBCUs and how he was a vessel. You remember a couple of weeks ago, he and another coach got into it where the other coach said that he wasn't swag. And Deion was offended by that, that he was posed this question and said, if I'm not swag, then who is? Deion leaves 6 weeks later. My frustration with Deion is that Deion, to me, preached all of these things, and then eventually, at the first opportunity left, Deion preached culture, Deion preached blackness, Deion preached all of these things until he was really faced with a decision. There are not a lot of places that are giving you head coaching jobs with really no experience. You weren't a coordinator anywhere. For you to just come out the gates as a head coach is really rare. I don't care even if you're a former player. It's really rare for a university to just give you a chance to be a head coach. And Deion did a lot of good at Jackson State. A lot of good. Unprecedented things. Jackson State was on the cover of Sports Illustrated earlier this year. College Game Day was at Jackson State. So even in a short amount of time, he did incredible things for HBCUs. Incredible things for the community of Jackson. But one of my big issues is the Colorado job that he took, you can take that job literally at any point. Colorado is a 5-7 win program. Those jobs come available all the time. Sometimes you get offered something that you just can't refuse, man. Sometimes you just get a big time offer from a company, and it's one of those things that, man, you know what? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know what's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity? If you're the recruiter that I think Deion Sanders can be, a job like Colorado. So maybe my reasons for Deion are selfish, but Deion, to me, really sold culture and really sold, in my opinion, young, impressionable African-American kids on bucking the system, on bucking the trend. That you don't got to go to these universities and be part of the system. You can come here and help us create our own system. And then in the end, he abandoned all of those things. Deion looked some of those kids in their faces right in front of their parents, and he left those kids before they even graduated. And then at the end, the energy that he had, if you watch his body language, Jackson State wins a championship, should be celebrated. Deion is basically like somebody at the Oscars. Tell him to wrap this up. I got somewhere better to be. Have you guys heard him really thank Jackson State for everything that they've done? For giving someone with no prior coaching experience a job? I haven't heard it. So from a just pure career standpoint, I understand it. I am not mad at Deion for making the career decision that he has made. I really believe that Deion understood his purpose and that he had a higher calling, and that he had a chance to make real lasting change in his community. And in some ways, I feel like he abandoned that at the first possible opportunity that he could. And it just doesn't sit right with me. So we'll see. Deion might go to Colorado and do an amazing job, and Deion will get everything that he wanted. You go have success at Colorado, you can go coach at Florida State. You can go coach at Auburn. You can go coach somewhere else. But I thought the mission of what he was trying to do with Jackson State was far bigger than just, I want to get to the highest level of coaching that I can. That would have been Deion's legacy. As great as Deion is as a football player, Deion might be one of the greatest football players we've ever seen. Can you imagine if he stayed at HBCU for 10, 12 years and really continued to build up the funding and the facilities and recruiting class after recruiting class? Because I think we were starting to see some of the ripple effects. I would just argue the job wasn't done, that whatever job that Deion established for HBCUs was not finished. Deion's purpose was finished of trying to get him to a Power 5 job, but the goal in which I believe this started with and trying to do good by HBCUs and good for that community, it is impossible to say that you are finished in 2 years doing that job.
I understand why it doesn't sit right with you, because what Deion did is what every coach in college football essentially does, until they, in college sports in general, until they get to one of those three or four, five, six, whatever you believe, destination jobs. The jobs where it's like, all right, I'm secure forever, basically. Deion did what every other coach does, and Deion preached that he's not going to be every other coach, but he's every other coach. And I think maybe I look through this, at this through a different lens, and I probably do. But the one thing Deion has always wanted is to be a coach at college football, one of those destination jobs, or the NFL. He was screaming. He was trying his hardest to get the Florida State job. He was going on Barstool podcast. He was going on anywhere saying, hey, Florida State, hire me. You know what Florida State did? They hired Mike Norvell. Then several P5 jobs came open. None of them interviewed him. Interviewed him. Not even interviewed him and picked someone else. Didn't interview him. Only one Power 5 job interviewed Deion. And I think it became clear to him, if I'm ever going to get one of those destination jobs, it's not going to be from jumping from Jackson State to Auburn. I'm not jumping from Jackson State to Oklahoma. I got to jump from an Iowa State. I got to jump from a Kansas. I got to jump from a Missouri. I got to jump from Colorado. So he took the opportunity to hit his end goal. So I see through that lens. And I get why people feel scummy that it happened and feel dirty, because he does the same thing every other coach in the industry does. And to do it to an HBCU while you preach that you would never do this is dirty pool. But for Deion to get to the Florida State job one day, he has to go to Colorado. He just has to.
Text line 913-586-7610. Carrington, everyone's career is based on growth. Why do you think he would stay at Jackson State? Someone else said, so if you got offered a job for more salary, bigger market, are you turning that down? I am telling you that I have turned that down before multiple times. What I don't like in these conversations is we make it seem like everybody's goal is to get to the height. I'm really happy where I work. Really happy. If somebody else, I'm not saying you can be unhappy if you take another job, but I'm not going to make it seem like there's no job other than this I would take. I would. 100%. My issue is that he sold him out. We can't even argue that he got a great job. He just got a job. He just took a job. There's markets bigger. I'm not interested in going to Charlotte. Charlotte's bigger than Kansas City, and I would make more money living in Charlotte. I ain't got no interest in going to Charlotte. Don't interest me. I'm not happy with doing that. Maybe Deion's happy, and that's cool. I want Deion to be happy. We are all adults, and at the end of the day, you got to go to sleep, and you got to live with your decisions. But my issue more than anything is, for the last 2 years, what Deion has been selling. And I don't like the fact that I don't believe that Deion really believed what he was selling. And that's cool for you, but his job was to look over the livelihoods of teenagers. And he sold them on a dream that wasn't a real dream. And that part's just messed up to me. And in the end, I think Deion did what a lot of people do. They take from culture, and the moment that they can improve themselves, they then leave. And I just don't really like that. That's just not really something I can get down with. It's not really something I can get down with. So good luck to Deion. Certainly not rooting against him. I want to see black people do well, man. I want to see Deion go there and have all the success in the world. But I just don't like how he left Jackson State. It will not sit right with me how he left Jackson State. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. Catch insider Nate Taylor with Cody and Gold every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. A lot of people chiming in right now about our conversation about Deion Sanders. I think what makes this conversation very different, Rob, is I don't know if it's like the – to me, the sports point of it and the societal point of it are two very different philosophies. And I think that's part of what makes this a really interesting topic. I also think it's the topic of race. Like, it's very hard to deny that part of it. Like, it's, he went to an historically black college. He's, it's very difficult to remove the part of race into it that comes into this conversation that I think make it a very, very interesting topic. I want to play this audio for you guys. This is from Colin Cowherd. He said this yesterday on his show.
But they miss Tyreek Hill's lightning. They feel like a heavyweight fighter that doesn't quite have the knockout punch they used to. Can't claw back after being beaten in the early rounds like they used to.
Do you feel that way, Rob, about the Chiefs? I don't feel that way that the Chiefs don't have that knockout power anymore. Maybe this is saying the same thing, just looking at it through a different lens, and I could acknowledge that. I think the Chiefs' knockout punch is still incredibly strong, and I still think that they have the ability to turn it on, and I still think that is among the best teams in the league. But what I think we've seen over the last 24 months or so is, think about two playoffs ago. So the last year they go to the Super Bowl, the year that they lose to Tampa Bay, they were en route, I think, to blowing out the Browns before the Mahomes injury happens. They beat Buffalo pretty undeniably in the AFC Championship game, right? The next AFC playoff game, instant classic against the Bills, goes to overtime, coin flip. So in a year, we saw them go from dominating Buffalo to now instant classic coin flip kind of games. A drastic change over the course of the year. Cincinnati just appears out of nowhere. We were not talking about Cincinnati the season that the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. Fast forward 2 years later, Cincinnati is at the point where they can beat you on the road in the AFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl themselves. Now fast forward another season. I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC. Buffalo is a legitimate contender where it's a 1A, 1B situation. I think Cincinnati has proven to be a legitimate contender. Miami has now come out of nowhere. That's a team that we weren't talking about. There's just more teams in the mix where 2 years ago, Kansas City was sort of at its own table and nobody else could sit with them. That's just not the case anymore. So now it comes down to, how do you execute in close game situations? And not how you're doing that against the Chargers, not how you're doing that against the Raiders. You now got to execute in these close situations against teams that have very similar quarterback play, very similar weapons and explosiveness and ability to score. You got to show you can do it against those teams. Rob, remember where the quarterback situation was in this conference 2-3 years ago? There was no challenger to Patrick Mahomes. There is now. Sure, I think Mahomes is better than Burrow, but Burrow has shown multiple times that he can outdo a Mahomes in these situations. Allen has shown that he can hang with Patrick Mahomes. Herbert can put up numbers. There's just so many good quarterbacks in the AFC, and that's just changed over the 2 years. So to me, it's not saying that the Chiefs have lost a punch, so to speak. I think it's that the rest of the conference has just elevated itself and they've just gotten much stronger. So the Chiefs' margin for error is just different than it was. This team can't get down 24-0 in a playoff game and win like they could 3 years ago. They could do that 3 years ago and be down big and come back and win. I don't care who they play in the second round. If they get down 24-0 to Arrowhead in this AFC, they are losing to whoever that team is. You couldn't do that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and that's what's changed.
I would say I don't per se agree with Cowherd, but I understand his point if this is his point, and maybe this is just me looking at the lens of what he said. If he's saying the Chiefs don't have that big explosive, they don't have that dynamic, oh, one play, 75-yard touchdown, watch out, the Chiefs are scoring at will, they're in the blink of an eye, they're dropping 50 on people. If they don't have that anymore, and they're more prodding, they're more slow, they're more methodical, they're more eight plays, 85 yards in 6 minutes type of offense now because of the weapons, I would agree with him. They don't have that out of nowhere knockout blow the way we had last season with Tyreek Hill. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I've been saying it all offseason, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just an evolution of the offense. for that Bills game last season in the playoffs. You know, the Chiefs had, what, 13 seconds? They threw the ball to Tyreek Hill. He took off, slid down, timeout. Then Travis Kelce. I don't think the Chiefs with this team win that Bills game. But I also don't think that game is 43-43 going into overtime or whatever it is. And that game is probably like the game at Arrowhead, 24-28. That's how the Chiefs want to play football right now. So if Coward's saying that, I actually kind of agree with him on that front.
Text line 913-586-7610. Did you guys ever address Nick's comments after the hits? We did, actually. We did address Nick's comments after the hits. I don't disagree with Nick. I also think that the Chiefs are going to go undefeated down the stretch. I just kind of question how much that really matters. I mean, I don't think where the game is between Cincinnati and Kansas City really matters a whole lot. Like, I think they are going to play a close, evenly contested game, and it just matters who executes in the fourth quarter of the game. They could play that game in Kansas City, Cincinnati. They could play that game on the moon. For all I care, I think they're pretty even. Same thing about Buffalo. So the one seed is great, and it's certainly better to have it than not have it. It is certainly better to play two playoff games to go to the Super Bowl as opposed to playing three and getting the rest and what it means. No denying that. I don't think it really matters with how close I think all of those teams are. I think that Kansas City can beat Buffalo on the road. I think Buffalo can beat Kansas City, Cincinnati, et cetera. I think that's the point that we've reached at the top of the AFC. Back again tomorrow. Normally, we would start the transition of talking about their opponent, and I'll find the excitement in me to talk about the Broncos at some point, but I don't think I'm going to have it in me tomorrow. That team's terrible. K-State basketball tonight. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.